Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Well, let's go over my docket here and see what we've got. How to handle terrorists. Jordan says it will hang all ISIS captives if their airman held hostage by ISIS is killed. That's good. ISIS is trying to negotiate with Jordan, and Jordan says, look, you either give us our airmen back or we're going to kill every ISIS captive we have here. A rather different take on handling these monsters in the current White House under siege by an Islamist president. Wow. Look at this. Obama's treachery. Obama's Taliban tools and treachery by Michelle Malkin. That's good. Will the lately Islamized Pentagon charge terrorist defecting Bergdahl with desertion of his post? Meanwhile, at least one of the terrorists Obama illegally released in exchange for this deserter, son of an Islam dad, has rejoined the jihad. Well, this is interesting. Even CNN is picking up on it. Detainee swapped for Bergdahl, suspected of militant activities and so on, CNN. Yeah, okay, but their concern seems to be how this is going to be a headache for Der Fuhrer Obama. here you go. Christian scouting organization grows while Boy Scouts declines. That whole thing with the Boy Scouts is so sad. But watch for these fascist homosexual activists to demand now that these Christian groups include homosexuals as troop leaders. I mean, Sodom is at the gates, pounding on the doors. What if we should go there today? Maybe. Oh, look at this. Republicans fail again. GOP, I'm quoting the headline here, GOP cowardly backs away from pro-life bill. You know, folks, when are you going to be done with these spineless conservatives? We give them both houses now, and they cannot take a stand for the defenseless baby in the womb. You know, I learned recently that not everyone understands what the little white crosses on church lawns represents. This is a memorial to the millions of babies murdered since Roe v. Wade. January is the anniversary of that dreaded decision to stain America's hands with innocent blood. Anyway, that's what little white crosses are about. Here's another interesting article. Atheists secure removal of, quote, for both God and country, end quote, on the army signs. Ah, those atheists, you know, such lovers of freedom of speech, you know, such lovers of freedom of religion. It's intriguing to watch this. Christians developed a nation guaranteeing freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and freedom of conscience. And these atheists are laboring to use that freedom to take ours away. I wonder if that is not part of what God had in view when he remarked that, quote, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And he went on to say, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good, end quote. That's Psalm 14:1, and you can look at Psalm 53:1. I don't have time to go into it now, but check your history. Far more millions have been killed in the name of secular humanism or atheism than ever was killed in the name of Christianity. Here's another interesting article. Feeling among elites that Christians should be eradicated. Wow. And then here's a book written to expose this spirit in places of power in our country, titled Too Many Christians, Too Few Lions. Oh, bad night. I don't know, maybe. Taliban kills three Americans as White House dismisses terror label for the Taliban. Yeah, that Obama, he really knows his business. He doesn't want to classify the Taliban as a terrorist group. Why? Well, because they only use terrorism in Afghanistan. Whereas, you know, Al-Qaeda, which supposedly is has been destroyed. What a joke. But Al-Qaeda has exported terrorism around the world. You know, for somebody who's supposed to be the smartest guy in the room, he sure is a dummy. I mean, when it comes to anything like sense. Or perhaps the truth is he has outsmarted the progressives that support him in order to go on advancing the cause of Islamization of the world, you know, creating a kind of global caliphate. Is that where we're headed? Yeah, we could talk about that. Here's an interesting article from National Review. Miss Uncongeniality. Now, can you believe this? Miss Israel takes a selfie with a few of her fellow beauty contestants, including Miss Lebanon, and the Lebanese freak out. And they call for her to be stripped of her title. Her government is investigating this egregious effrontery against her nation. How dare she pose with Miss Israel? Oh, brother. Yeah. Anyway, and then you have, here you have Obama interfering with the elections ongoing in Israel right now. An article titled, Obama Hopes to Fundamentally Change Israel. And Ted Cruz weighs in on this, complaining against Obama for campaigning against Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu. So, Der President, alleged Obama, refuses to meet with Netanyahu here while visiting America. Why? Because it's against policy to allow heads of states from other countries to involve America in their elections. You know, ostensibly because America does not want to unduly influence elections in other countries, right? But here we have Obama, what, secretly, attempting to work behind the scenes and influence that election, campaigning against Netanyahu. I mean, this man's a traitor. He attacks our friends and assists our enemies. It's just, this is getting to be old news. Here's another one. Obama's pivot to Iran. This from Foreign Policy. And I read it. It's a serious article outlining the evidence that shows Obama's actions all favor one country in particular. And that country is Iran. Add to that the truth that his policies consistently strengthen the enemies of the U.S. and undercut the interests of our friends. Unbelievable. Now here's one. How Obama plans to safeguard his legacy. And this from National Journal. Answer, use executive orders to implement his socialist policies by presidential fiat. by fiat through presidential decree. You know, and in view of that, you might have heard his recent mocking tone as he jibed the conservatives, who, according to him, finally began expressing concern about the poor. The difference, Mr. Obama, between your approach to helping the poor and our approach to helping the poor is that you would put them in a cage of government control through dependency. We would open the cage and set them free, creating opportunities to become self-supporting contributors rather than pathetic takers kept in your zoo, sitting in their cages, waiting for the government to throw them their daily bread. We'll get ours from God, thank you, not you. Ever go to a zoo around feeding time? The animals gather around the feed doors waiting, you know, like government welfare dependents watching the mailbox for their checks. It's sad. Oh, yeah. And then here's one. Measles may become endemic. By the way, that's become common in certain areas and among certain groups, as opposed to pandemic where it spreads all over. But anyway, measles may become endemic without vaccination, proper clinical diagnosis, CDC officials say. And that from Fox News. I guess they've concluded the virus causing a highly infectious respiratory disease that blotches the epidermis with flat red spots that sometimes become little bumps. You ever heard of that one? Has not been eradicated after all, but has made a horrible and life-threatening resurgence. You see, they thought measles had been eradicated from the U.S. I think they declared that in 2000. But now they're saying some visitors from other countries to our happiest place on Earth, you know, that park over there in Anaheim, began a resurgence of the disease, which is sort of odd, since we have had visitors to the famous theme park from all over the world right along, and this never happened before. Are they covering up the actual source of this problem? Okay, well, obviously there's lots to talk about, so get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
You know, with all there is to talk about, this measles thing really did catch my attention. I've had the virus as a kid. In fact, I remember families would sometimes take their children to visit a measles kid to contract the condition on purpose as a way of building up an immunity to the virus. I remember we did this with mumps, too. Then they came along with the vaccines and so on. But the point is, I don't know of ever hearing about a lot of people dying from the measles. And I grew up when it was a problem. And none of the 84 victims of the recent outbreak originating at the home of the Ice Queen and Olaf, oh, and Mickey, have died. So my point is, the reporting on this caught my attention. It seemed so over the top and really kind of provoked some suspicion on my part that something else is afoot here. So when I received this from a News Alert and Comments contributor to the Brain Masseur, I realized that this has caught the attention of others, that even some of my younger listeners were noticing this hyped up concern about measles. So what's with the recent hysteria being pumped up over the measles? Well, here's a quote from an article titled, 9 Things Everybody Should Know About Measles. Quote, if your parents were born before 1960, there's a good chance they suffered through a measles infection. They may have lived to tell about it, but they probably had friends who didn't. In the United States, before a vaccine was introduced in 1963, there were 4 million measles cases with 48,000 hospitalizations and 500 deaths every year, end quote. Whoa. Of course, the article is clearly hyping the issue, with exaggerated claims, as my friend points out, it's not even close to true that anyone back in the day probably had friends who died of the measles. She pulled out her slide rule and did her math and some research, noting that, at that time, back in the 60s, there was about 180 million folks living here in the good old US of A, and 500 deaths per year out of 180 million people, quote, does not equal most people I know, some people I know, or even a few people I know, end quote. Well said. I must interject here that after researching this, I found that the author of that article apparently edited this sentence to read, quote, may have had friends who didn't, and talking about surviving measles. And I'll come back to that in a minute. But the fact is, I never heard of anyone dying of measles growing up in the 60s. Like I said, it was not a fun thing to get the measles, but no one considered it a really big deal when I was a kid. I mean, hey, not to say 500 people dying of any disease is not a big deal. But, as my friend points out, why the hysteria over a return of the measles? Is this a mocking concern that we are turning back to the days of horror when 500 people died of this disease? You know, when right now, 88,000, and I said 88,000 people died of alcohol-related deaths in 2013. And that number can be expected to climb with millennials becoming known as Generation Y for wine. I guess the letter Y makes them think of wine because of a homophonic kind. Well, anyway, the youngins are tipping the wine glass like never before, pushing up all the negative consequences associated with alcohol consumption, including a contribution to the $225 billion in alcohol-related costs to the economy every year, beyond the cost of the booze itself, by the way, along with the increased risk of cancer to those who imbibe, and the increased tipsy driving and the lowered inhibitions, along with the decrease in awareness and engagement with the children by those who get involved too much in that, and on it goes. But the point is, why would the MSM, including our friends at Fox, jump on this and make such a big deal out of it? I mean, it is worthy news, to be sure. But, well, get this. I mentioned already that the writer of this article that I'm using, quote, 9 things everybody should know about measles, end quote, was apparently modified in order to correct the really wild misrepresentation found in the opening paragraphs of the article. But even so, get a load of this. A little later in the article, in fact, twice, the author refers to measles as, are you ready for this, a, quote, scary virus, end quote. Oh, it's scary. Quote, there's one fact that makes the measles virus really scary. It's one of the most infectious diseases known to man, end quote. Good heavens, that could be said about the cold. Okay, then later she compares it to Ebola and HIV and SARS. And if you say, well, you just compared it to a cold, I would say my comparison, as facetious as it is far more close to the truth than this comparison. Measles is compared with Ebola, HIV, and SARS? As among the scary viruses? Really? Ebola kills 50% of those infected. 50%? Well, measles killed, 500 out of 4 million cases back in the 60s? What's that? 0.00125%? I mean, it's virtually zero. Again, don't misunderstand. Let's wipe out measles if we can. Hey, save 500 lives. I'm wanting to know why, however. We are being scared to death with this stuff. I mean, the millennials are probably hitting the wine glasses trying to calm their nerves over this horrible outbreak of measles. It's unreal. If 4 million people got Ebola, that would mean 2 million people would die. As for HIV/AIDS, in 2011, 34 million had the disease worldwide, and 1.7 million died in that year. That's 0.05% of all cases of HIV died in that year. And by the way, getting the exact percentage of numbers who contract HIV and die of the disease is kind of hard to come by. But it's way up there, let me tell you. And then we've got the SARS outbreak in 2003. It caught 8,000 with that disease, and of whom 750 died. And that would be 9%. And they say, from this article, that the mortality rate from SARS ranges from 9 to 12%. And my point is to include measles with Ebola, HIV, and SARS. Well, that's like comparing Muhammad with Mother Teresa. Well, okay, that could be a little off. Let's say Muhammad with Gandhi. Yeah, that probably works. But the real question is, why do we virtually ignore alcohol-related deaths in this country, 88,000 in a good year, play down the health risks of homosexuality, which are truly troubling and horrible indeed? and then turn around and gin up near panic over an outbreak of measles? I mean, the news seems to be agenda-driven these days. Is someone trying to sell vaccine? Or is there something more nefarious going on here? Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
How would you like to encounter God in 2015? Are you ready for a renewed experience of God with a fresh encounter this year? Or maybe you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. Get ready to encounter God and know that He is real. Looking for an intelligent and engaged audience eager to show their appreciation to you for supporting one of their favorite radio shows? Over the past 10 years, the Brain Massage Radio Show has built up a large audience of dedicated listeners. Call Janet Fisher to help you reach this audience. 503-9945. Enjoying your brain massage experience? Do you wish everyone could? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies of the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The last segment, I asked, what is going on with this measles outbreak hysteria? I laid down some foundation that you need to appreciate the point I'm going to make right now, but did you know that measles was declared conquered in 2000? And from 2000 until just last year, measles was almost non-existent. But in 2014, cases began to sprout up, and it shot up from something like 40 or 50 cases to almost 600 or more than 600 cases in that one year. And all of that around the time we began having problems with our borders. Why all the hysteria about this recent outbreak in Disney? Is it a cover-up for the reintroduction of measles into our community because of Obama's failure to protect our borders? That's something to think about. Well, let's get on with segment number two. Did you know that America is first in the world in gun ownership? Oh, yeah. It's something like 90 guns for every 100 Americans. You know, Americans have always loved their guns. So, more guns are owned by private citizens in America than by citizens of any other country in the world. Now, that's the total number of guns owned. The percentage of American households that keep a weapon in the home is about 50%. Now, Obama has been particularly good for the gun business. 65.4 million guns have been purchased by Americans since Obama took office. That's an increase of 91% from Bush's first term total. Well, you might expect that homicides might track right along with that, right? And be higher here than elsewhere. But guess what? When it comes to homicides, that's intentional murders, America does not even make the top five. We're not even in the top 50. We're not even in the top 100 countries when it comes to homicides. We roll in at about the 111th. Gun-controlled Honduras comes in number one. In fact, virtually all of the countries ahead of us in homicides have outlawed guns in their countries. So what is with this ABC News report claiming, quote, U.S. has more guns and gun deaths, end quote? They came up with some very different statistics to support their claim. They measured, quote, gun-related deaths per 100,000, end quote, not homicides or intentional murders, but any death that was in some way related to the use of a firearm. In this measurement, we are number one with 10.2 deaths by firearms per 100,000 in population. Well, the doctors who put together the study used in this report concluded that the facts they gathered prove, quote, more guns do not make people safer, end quote. Also noted in this article is that the NRA did not, quote, immediately respond to abcnews.com request for comment, end quote. Well, they didn't immediately respond, eh? Not that they were ignored. ABC News went all out, scaring their viewers into not owning guns. Back when they aired this report, Good Morning America began that day, warning about the dangers of gun ownership. Their broadcast day ended with the evening news emphasizing that report. And then 2020 devoted its entire hour to the message, don't own guns, but if you do, lock them up, or you're bad, bad, bad. The drumbeat of ABC News throughout that day was guns are dangerous for children. Fox News asked John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crimes, to respond. ABC News also interviewed Mr. Lott. But he said, concerning that interview, quote, although a producer for ABC News spent hours asking me questions about the subject before the reports aired on various news programs, our discussions seemed to have had no impact, end quote. He said, quote, what I told them just didn't fit the type of story they wanted to tell, end quote. That's typical, isn't it? The story they want to tell. It's obvious to anyone who watched the ABC News stories on the danger of guns to children and other living things that ABC had an agenda to scare people away from gun ownership. Now, here's where I want to go with this today. Watch how the liberal mind works. Let's look at this issue. David Muir on ABC News reported that, quote, 7,391 children are rushed to the hospital every year because of those gun injuries, so often accidents in the home. 453 of those children die at the hospital, end quote. Now, he said this responding to Diane Sawyer, who had just warned, quote, every hour a child is rushed to the emergency room because of gunshots, end quote. Then they bring up the anecdotes, you know, and they trot this one out. A 3-year-old who died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound when playing with daddy's gun. So what have we here? 7,391 children taken to the hospital with gun-related injuries. At least 1 3-year-old killed himself playing with his dad's gun. Oh no, right? Now answer, from the liberal mind, lock up your guns or don't own one at all. Lock them up. If you must own one, lock it up. That was the drone string of the comments, along with the encouraging of their viewers to get into the business of their neighbors and ask them whether or not they own guns if they're going to let their children play over their house. Now, think about this. Now, get this clear in your mind. ABC News' Diane Sawyer et al. Are very alarmed and scaring their viewers to wine-bibbing, throwing out this number of children taken to the hospital with gun-related injuries, 7,000 plus. Follow with a story of a 3-year-old who shot himself. Yikes, tragic, horrible. But then you get the facts. And first, young children killed by firearms is very, very rare. I mean, it's actually more rare than the number of people who die of measles. It is a statistical null. Of course, one child dying in any way is tragic and heartbreaking. But to use such an occurrence to advance a political agenda, you know, one that involves taking away the fundamental human rights of American citizens to keep and bear arms, well, that's just downright wicked. Truly evil. Now what? The vast majority of the injuries did not involve children. Almost all of these that were taken to the hospital, these 7,391, were 18 and 19-year-olds. Another sad truth about all of this, but it's truth we want, right? The fact is the injury rate for black males aged 15 to 19 years old was 13 times higher than that for white males. What is that about? And you know, it's about the gangs and activity like that. Look, in 2012, quote, the Centers for Disease Control reports that 76% of firearm injuries of those under the age 20 were for 17, 18, and 19-year-olds. Out of 41 million children in the United States, only 36 died by accidental gun discharge. Now, add to this the fact that 2/3 of these accidental gun deaths involving young children, quote, are not shots fired by other little kids, but rather by adult males with criminal backgrounds, end quote. You see what they include in these numbers? More children die in swimming pools, riding bicycles, in bathtubs, getting into poisonous fluids around the household. By more children, I mean hundreds and even thousands more. But ABC News does not do a story on locking up your medicine cabinet or locking up your cleaning supplies, or they don't call for banning bicycles, or they don't discourage the use of alcohol, which kills many hundreds of our kids every year in automobile accidents directly related to alcohol abuse. Reflecting on ABC News' suggestion that parents ought to ask their neighbors if they own a gun before allowing their children to go and play in their homes, Mr. Lott makes the great point. Quote, it would make more sense to check the parents' driving record than whether they own guns. After all, 923 children under 10 died in car accidents, end quote. Now, it compares to 36 children who died from gunshot wounds, most of whom did not die because they were playing with daddy's gun. In fact, that goes down to like 1 or 2 or something. Obviously, you want to take care to keep guns away from the kiddies, but these lock up your gun laws are ridiculous, and all they do is embolden criminals to attack more people in their homes. According to Mr. Lott, quote, 300 more total murders and 4,000 more rapes occurred each year in 18 states with these laws, end quote. He points out that burglaries also rose dramatically in those states. So what's the point? Agenda-driven news rather than truth-driven news. And the way liberals think. You know, it's no wonder our country is in such a mess. Think about this. We have over 7,000 young people killed every year by guns, only a small fraction of which were killed by accidental discharge. The vast majority of these kids are being killed by gang activity or by criminals who don't obey any of their gun laws anyway. Where does ABC Progressive Propaganda News Incorporated focus their attention? Think about it. On the one factor related to these deaths that contributes the least to the problem, ignoring the major factor contributing to the problem of these 7,000 kids being taken to the hospital every year, which is gang violence or criminal activity. They use the huge problem of kids murdering kids to scare moms and dads about the almost non-existent danger of a child getting wounded accidentally playing with a gun in a neighbor's house or in your own house, to get you to do something that will do nothing about those 7,391 injuries. Think about it. That's how liberals, say progressives, do their job. They scare you with poverty, children starving, and all of this to motivate you to accept a social program that does nothing in any meaningful way to address the problem, but does a whole lot to interfere and take away your rights, to rob you of your hard-earned income, to hold you hostage by your emotions to their agenda, which is to socialize the country, creating a giant prison with the people as their inmates, their zoo, where they protect and provide for all their pets. God deliver us from these unreasonable and wicked people. Finally, and then I'll have to go about other business. Think about this. The doctors who put together this report used by ABC News to scare witless, the already simple-minded about, quote, neighbors who own guns, concluded that, quote, more guns do not make people safer, end quote. I don't know if you caught the sound of hissing behind that statement. Let's see now if I can help you hear it. First, at best, that statement is one of the most asinine I've ever heard. What does the police officer bring with him to defend a neighbor being assaulted by someone with a gun? Well, he brings a gun. So it takes a gun to defend against someone who's using a gun to assault you. A gun in your own hands or in the hands of another, but a gun nonetheless. But I question the whole premise of this and much of libthink. The idea that everything should be measured by how safe it makes us. The obsession with making everyone safe. The obsession with removing all risk from life. It's absurd on the face of it and very dangerous underneath the face of it. I have a right to keep and bear arms. That right is precious to me. In fact, it's a divinely ordained inalienable right. Whether or not it makes me safe, of course, I'm convinced it does, but that is not the point. Don't let them make that the point. It's about our liberties and it's about our rights. I am not interested in forfeiting my rights in the interest of my safety. That kind of thinking, thankfully, did not win the day in 1776. Oh, there were some who were concerned for their safety and unwilling to expose themselves to the dangers of war with Great Britain, all because they were afraid of losing their safety. But those who triumphed in that day were not obsessed with safety. They were obsessed with something else, something more noble, something more grand. They were obsessed with the idea of liberty, and they risked their safety to secure their liberty. Let us not forfeit our liberty in order to become safe in our government's zoo. The wolves of tyranny always talk about safety and security and peace and protection. The wolf of tyranny seduces you with promises of safety while he stirs his pot and licks his lips. The Bible puts it this way. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. Be sober. Yeah, did you hear that? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Folks, I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you call and let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And say, lights on if you see that they are on. And we'll ride like Rivera and spread the warning. Of course, that means you agree with what I'm saying and you'll go tell others to tune in. Or if you disagree with me, say, lights off and give me a piece of your mind to chew on. I've certainly thrown down a chunk of mine for you to chew on. Don't choke on it. But anyway, 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States. From outside the country, or for those of you who would prefer it, you can contact me by email or go to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. This Sunday night, I'll be picking up this topic and developing it in my Sunday evening Issachar report. So come on by and see us at 6 p.m. Sunday night. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.